This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back. Coast to coast at you again. It's a holiday edition. We are recording this on Labor Day weekend because in Inside Carolina, the grind never stops. Was that lame enough, guys? Was that cheesy enough to start with?
You could have said Ballless Life or something.
That's
coast
right.
To coast.
Yeah, so anyway, you guys are tuned in to, if we haven't lost yet, you guys are tuned into the Coast to Coast podcast here on Inside Carolina. I'm your host, Joey Powell. With me, as always, the venerable Sean Moran and Sherelle McMillan. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Real, how about you, man?
Good. Enjoying the weekend.
Other than my lame start. Hey, look, let's get some business out of the way before we get rolling. As usual, if you're listening or watching this in whatever medium you're consuming it, please take a second to subscribe, rate, and review us. If we're doing great, let everybody know we're doing great. If we're doing a poor job, let us know that too, because we don't want to continue being schmucks out here and doing schmuck things for you guys. We'd rather up our game if you feel like it needs to be raised. I also want to give a huge, huge shout out to our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Look, y'all, I never thought I'd be saying this. If you'd asked me a month ago, and I imagine my colleagues would agree, we're supposed to have football this coming weekend, right? Like real live games count football. And
I still have to wait till Saturday.
Wait till after the whistle blows.
Until my heart will allow it, I have to wait till Saturday noon.
That's fair. Hey, look, protect yourself at all costs, man. So what this means is this game week, it's a new season. You got to have some new gear. I know we don't have tailgates, but you're probably going to watch it with some friends, maybe, in a socially disrespectful manner. You may watch it on Zoom, however you want to do it. Don't be wearing old gear. Don't be wearing your 2006 John Bunning / Butch Davis era football jersey from Nike. UNC has a partnership with Jumpman, which means they got high-end threads. Johnny T-Shirt has those threads for you to purchase. JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They've got where you can pick it up at the door. Just hop out of your car and they'll meet you at the door. Whether you don't even have to go inside if you don't want to, or just order it. They'll ship it to you in a very reasonable time frame. From what everything that I've experienced and everything that I've heard, they're still, despite the post office issues, they're still getting stuff to people. So make sure you take care of Johnny T-Shirt. They've always been taking care of us, and they've been great supporters here at InsideCarolina.com and of Inside Carolina Podcasts. So it's been 2 weeks since we talked to you guys, and would love to say we have a huge list of commitments to talk about. We've got 43 offers that we have to mull through. This is going to be a five-hour program. I don't have that to say. But what I do have is Sherelle and Sean here to talk about what is news, and we will share that with you. And I'm going to let Sean start off with a guy that's actually already committed, and he saw some feedback today that had been shared by Inside Carolina. I want you guys to talk about it. Sean, what do you know about Dontrez Styles highlights?
Yeah, so it was just actually catching up on the message boards, saw the highlights that were posted. I know both Ben and Sherrill commented on them. Once again, only 2 minutes of highlights, so not a whole lot you can take away. I was actually going to see if they might be on Baller TV, my favorite streaming station, just to see if there were any full games. But once again, at least you're getting to see highlights and they're getting some action. You know, I think for Styles, a few things that stuck out. One is jumpers looking a little more smoother. I know going back to the spring, in the highlights, you could always pinpoint this little hitch that he had, and it's definitely looking, a little smoother. Everybody knows he's explosive, quick off his feet. I think that was shown in the highlights when he was, getting out in transition. Definitely, I think we mentioned before, but a two-footed jumper, but I think the highlights accentuate that because any chance he got, he was going off of two. I think some of the posters hit on it pretty well in their analysis of when he was getting the ball on the wing. It was kind of like a Naz Little almost, where you needed, you know, a few dribbles to make a move and get going, versus at UNC. And as, you know, Sherelle talked about in the scoop this week of, you know, what are people looking for in a UNC wing? And it's usually a guy that is really good, that can catch and shoot, or somebody that can be very quick and direct with his moves. So once again, you know, that's probably a thing to look out for going forward. But if he is playing the four, he might have, you know, some of those mismatches where he might have a little more freedom. But overall, you know, once again, I think he's better than what his ranking is. And I think his athleticism will definitely help out, you know, when he is in Chapel Hill.
I love that you mentioned, and it's a perfect segue, and this is why you guys are pros at this. I love that you mentioned Sherelle's write-up this week about, you know, how certain wings have fit in it in the Roy Williams system. Rayle, you want to talk about that a little bit? I think there were some really good nuggets that you shared. And, you know, usually while we'd be talking about, you know, who got offers, we'll get to that. But I'd love for you to kind of expand upon that, if you would, just a little bit. Kind of when you say the UNC prototypical wing, what can our listeners and what can the Inside South Carolina subscribers, what can they expect when you talk about that? Can you boil it down for us in a couple of sentences?
So check out the Weekly Scoop, subscribe to IC if you haven't, you know, I think it's not just for this Weekly Scoop, but Don's Weekly Scoop and team coverage, you know, everything. I think
and the 10% off a Johnny t-shirt, by the way.
I mean, yeah, of course, like who wouldn't, you know, you need that. So the thing I thought that surprised me the most, talking to Brandon Robinson, who just graduated from UNC, played alongside Cam Johnson and Justin Jackson and Theo Pinson. So three really, really good wings. And then Adrian Atkinson, our kind of resident, you know, charting and analytics expert. Moving without the ball, they both said maybe the most important thing for a UNC wing. And as someone who like follows UNC and knows basketball a little bit, but not at the depth that they do, that was surprising, because you always hear, well, if you're a wing at Carolina, you need to be able to catch and shoot, just mm-hmm. because it's so, the system is so reliant upon dynamic point or dynamic lead guards and big men. And you know the ball is going down into the bigs first. That's what they want to do. They want to dominate the board. So that surprised me a little bit. But it makes sense, because if you have a dynamic lead guard or you have bigs, most of the time the bigs at Carolina are pretty good passers. Mm-hmm. And so if they're drawing double teams, then all you have to do is just move around a little bit. And more than often than not, using their freelance, you know, motion offense, you'll be able to find a seam, find a hole in the defense and get layups. Adrian said Justin Jackson was the best he's ever seen at Carolina at doing that. So that was surprising, one. And then two, just the emphasis. And I guess watching it, you just get conditioned to it, but the emphasis on the three or the wing crashing the offensive glass.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, every fifth possession or every third possession, but every single possession, Roy Williams and his staff want the wing to crash the offensive glass. So that was surprising. And then there's some other things in there that Adrian and Brandon Robinson say that I think will enlighten readers about how UNC likes to use their wings. But the other thing for me, because it started off as like kind of a fact-finding mission, like me, Sean, and Ben were in, and Rob Harrington were in our Slack channel just talking, like, hey, what is it about Carolina wings? And it was like, well, they need to be able to do this and they need to be able to do that. So we were like, okay, let's try and prove it, whether or not that's true. So that part, just finding all that information out was really interesting to me. But at the same time, you know, you have Theo Pinson, who did it one way. You have Wayne Ellington and Cam Johnson, who did it other way. So it matters, but, you know, it doesn't mean, if you're not a certain type, it doesn't mean that you can't be successful at UNC. And that, for me, that was the biggest takeaway, is that, you know, Roy Williams is one with different styles and players at that position. So all in all, it was fun to do and talk to Adrian and talk to B-Rob and talk to some other people, because I feel like I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, and I will say it translated really well into your write-up. I'll, again, reiterate, everybody who's a premium subscriber right now, go read it. I think it will give you a lot of insight as to what you see away from the ball. I think a lot of fans are conditioned to just watch the ball when they're watching basketball, and it's, you know, it's hard to get a little further than that. But I think one of the things that Rayle was really able to enlighten us on, based on who he talked to for this write-up, is it tells you just like he said, specifically how hard you have to move without the ball, how important it is to come off of cuts hard, how important it is to know, you know, where you're supposed to be after the ball hits the post. I mean, it was a really, really enlightening write-up, and I just subscribers, go read it. If you're not a subscriber right now, get premium, then go read it. Sean, what can you add to this? I think it was a really good write-up from Rail, but I'm sure you've got some insight.
No, yeah, it was really good. And I was curious how it was going to kind of come together, because I think there's a lot of different directions you could go. You know, I think the thing that was most interesting to me was Sherrell went through and listed every wing that had been offered by Roy Williams and the staff, which, you know, I don't know, you know,
was painful to read sometimes, but yes.
But, you know, when you look at the players that UNC did get, I'll start there first, of just how few really misses there have been. You know, you go through the whole bolded list, and obviously when you're recruiting different levels of players, you have different expectations, but you go through that and really just how many have succeeded and done, you know, played well at Carolina. And then even when you're looking at all the players that they offered and went elsewhere, whether they were one and done guys or 4-year guys, like there's a ton of NBA guys in there. There's a ton of, you know, productive college guys. There's not really any guys that just truly flamed out. So it goes back to, you know, really them identifying what talent, you know, obviously some of them are the 5 stars that you have to go over. But, you know, I think it goes back to them identifying talent and identifying who fits in their system.
So I love that Rel mentioned, you know, who Adrian said he thought was the best wing that UNC's ever had under Roy. I'd like to find out who you guys feel like your best one are. But first, am I oversimplifying, or would a fan be oversimplifying to think that the best wings under Roy Williams are going to be the taller ones just for that rebounding addition? Or can you be 6'6" as long as you've got the moxie and the will and the drive to go, you know, put your nose up against the glass? Sherrell?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think, you know, no matter your height, if you go in and do what he asks and you're strong enough and physical enough to do it, I think there's some players who frankly just haven't had the physical makeup, maybe who were 6'2 or 6'3 to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're 6'3, stocky, and you crash the boards hard and you do what you're supposed to do, I mean, I don't think that discounts you. But of course, I mean, it's just easier being 6'7 to go down there and do some of the things on the offensive glass. Additionally, I think defensively too, it's a big bonus when you're, you know, 6'6", 6'7", and lanky,
yeah,
like Justin Jackson, like Reggie Bullock,
like Cam,
like Leaky Black right now. Defensively, that's huge, because it creates so many problems for other teams who more often than not don't have a 6'7" or 6'8" wing. More often than not, it's like a, you know, they have 2 6'3" or 6'4" shooting guards, and one of them just happens to be playing the three.
Right. Okay. So, while we're at it, Sherrell, who's your favorite wing under Roy Williams?
I go back and forth. Like, I said something on the message board. I said Reggie Bullock. But then I was like, you know, Justin's my guy, though. I think Justin Jackson, just everything that he did, the way his career progressed. And then, you know, I have a relationship with his family, so that's part of it, too. I'm biased. But I would say Justin and then Reggie. I just the way those two guys play, I loved it. Very complimentary of other players on the team. And they just you never had to worry about them. You know, they were never a net negative, which is a big thing.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? Who's your favorite wing under Roy Williams?
Well, I'm going to cheat on this one, because he wasn't offered by Roy Williams, but Rashad McCants, in terms of, I guess, overall skill set, because once again, offensively, you know, he could really do everything from, you know, shooting 40% plus to, you know, he didn't have a great handle, but he was so strong. He could get to the basket and he could post up. But in terms of looking at guys that they did offer, you know, I think, you know, I'm not going out on a limb here, but Wayne Ellington, just once again, amazing shooter, pure shooter, but athletic enough, as Sherrell mentioned, to get out and transition, finish at the rim. He wasn't a guy that needed a lot of dribbles. So you look at his usage rate, it wasn't that high for as good of a player that he was. And, you know, once again, if, you know, kind of any wing I kind of compare to that, just because, you know, for how good of a shooter he was. And I'll just kind of throw out one more. But I guess you kind of look at Cam Johnson of how he was playing his senior year. Once again, the shooting, he did get a lot better off the dribble from his junior year to senior year. And once again, he wasn't a freak athlete that was going to, you know, drive by and dunk on you anytime. But just once again, the pure shot, you know, it just opens up everything, as we saw this past year where you're shooting under 30%, you know, and you have guys like those that can knock down 40% and they can get to the rim. That's the ideal wing for me.
Yeah. I think mine would have to be Wayne just because his stroke was just so pure. But I go back and I think of like the additional dimensions he added to his game after his senior year into the year that UNC won the title. I would love to have, just from a personal level, would love to have seen Cam Johnson get a full 4 years under Roy Williams just to see what that would have looked like. Totally being greedy, I get it. And Rel mentioned Reggie. I think Reggie had an absolute pure shot by the time he left. Like it was so smooth looking. But I got to go Justin too. I think it's just for his ability, and yes, maybe it's a little recency bias, but his ability to rebound and his ability to defend, his ability to get his hands on the ball, you know, just clogging the lanes, clogging the passing angles. I feel like he was such an all around player and such a key cog. And I wish UNC could get like one of him every year, cause it'd be unstoppable. But again, I'm being greedy and I recognize that.
Boys, yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry, one more thing. I think for Jackson, I mean, it's so long ago, but it feels like yesterday just watching him in all those AAU and high school games with a floater. And, you know, that what's
very underappreciated shot.
What he was kind of known for coming in. And, you know, he carried it into Chapel Hill, I think, for him, because he did shoot the ball well in EYBL, but he was only taking maybe one and a half threes per game, I remember. And for him, a lot of us thought he might be that one and done wing. And it really took him to that year three to get his shot going. So, you know, he always had the nifty floaters and offensive rebounds, lay-ins, get out on the break. But it wasn't really until his junior year where finally his shot came around. And once again, that just made him that much more dangerous than he was as a freshman and sophomore.
Definitely. So let's move on to the moving and shaking part. Let's get back to what news you guys can share with us today. What has developed since the last episode? And Sherelle, I'm going to go for you first. Offers that are out there that weren't there when we talked 2 weeks ago.
It's dry. It's the Sahara out here. It's desert time. There's, you know, nothing.
Not dessert time, desert time.
Desert time. I mean, it's dessert time too. That's coming after I get off the podcast. But, you know, it's just dry. There's not much going on. I know we've been saying this for like 2 or 3 months and like, yeah, if we keep saying dominoes are going to fall, eventually they're going to fall. I thought there would have been more movement by now by some of these guys who were offered by UNC, especially guys like Harrison Ingram. I think DeMarco Dunn, we talked about him in the Weekly Scoop. Even Hunter Salas. You know, I thought they would be a little bit further along. I thought they'd be a little bit further along, and I'm going to say comma. But I'm not saying they're not going to decide soon. I just figured we'd have at least one of those guys would have announced something more substantive by now. Like, you know, Salas has a top 12. I thought that'd be maybe a top three or top five. I think Dunn is getting close to a commitment. He said that publicly. And then Ingram, I'm not really sure the situation there. I think he could commit at any time, honestly. Him and Dunn, I think you definitely have to watch and see because they could be very close. All that to say, just not much movement. No new offers since the last time we talked. The staff had a Zoom call with Sky Clark, who is in the 2022 class, and by all accounts, that went well. There's mention of that in the Weekly Scoop. But besides that, you know, I think they're just talking to their targets, talking to the offered players, reviewing film, and then, depending upon what happens, they're going to have to start getting ready for the season. I guess we can talk about that later, but typically right now, this would be the run up to conditioning and, you know, the mile run and all those good things that Roy Williams likes to do, because practice in a normal year would start in about 3 weeks. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but, the staff's going to have to start shifting a little bit from recruiting kind of all the time to getting down to the nuts and bolts of getting ready for the season.
Sean, what do you think the holdup is in a lot of these guys? I mean, do you think they're waiting for something to change? Do you think that, you know, they're waiting for life to resume to normal? Because we talked last time about how many just different elements are going on with not only evaluation, but offering and just everything that's involved with recruiting. What do you think these guys are waiting on?
That's a good question. I mean, I think you've seen some of the guys, especially with Louisville, for instance, some of the guys that maybe a little lower ranked that have these larger offers, or even a Brizzy with Villanova, where they're kind of not taking their chances of waiting around. They have these, you know, big offers, so they're jumping on them. You know, I think some of these guys, once again, are where we are in the world of, you know, are they going back to school? Are they not? What's happening with the basketball season probably is just giving them a little more pause than normal. I mean, as Sherrill mentioned, you know, next week they'd be coming to Chapel Hill for a football game, or, you know, playing pickup with the current team and probably some of the NBA guys. So it's just such a different dynamic right now. And even some are still playing, you know, as we saw with Styles, they're playing in AU tournaments. So, you know, it's a good question. Don't have a specific answer, but I do think, you know, and it's crazy to think that we're already in September, but, you know, kind of the later September, October timeframe, you'll start to see a little more movement.
So I'll stick with you, Sean. Speaking of visits, you know, there was rumor that that Kaufman was going to try to take a little bit of a look at UNC on his own. Have we heard anything about that? Has there been any movement there?
Yeah, so I know the article that he was going to UVA initially and then swinging by Chapel Hill, I think it was Saturday afternoon through Monday. So, you know, I think for that, you know, his school list is down to four. Indiana, Purdue, UVA, UNC. UNC was the last one in, and kind of they've been kind of looking a little bit on the outside for that one is what it seems like. But once again, all you do is want a player to visit Chapel Hill. And, you know, once that happened, things, you know, you never know what could occur. Obviously, it's a little different not being able to really see the coaching staff and having that in-person interaction, but being able to see the campus, being able to see the Dean Dome, all that makes things a lot more real than what they've been over Zoom or conversation. So I think that's definitely a positive, especially with how close he is to Indiana, Purdue. He's probably seen those campuses numerous times. I think when you're looking at just UVA, UNC, you know, it feels like UVA, there might be a little easier sell in terms of playing time, where this year they're going to have, you know, Hauser and Huff, and they're both going to be seniors. So it's easy to say, hey, those guys are going to be for sure gone when you get here, versus UNC, it's a little, I'd say, murkier. But once again, getting somebody on campus at this point of the year is huge.
Sherrill, anything to add about Trey Kaufman or his potential visit now or this weekend?
Yeah, I would just say, as Sean said, it's you can't call it a negative. Like, it's, I don't know how much it's going to move the meter for him, but it's something, like Sean said, because no other recruits have done this so far. And to Sean's point, I think Jeff Rabjohns, who works for the Indiana site, our kind of sister site, I think he said he's been to Indiana and Purdue upwards of 15 times. So plenty of familiarity there. The thing with Kaufman, every time we talk to someone about him, they say he's a different kid. He's unique. He's different. He's number one in his class. So he has a lot of varied interests. And so he's not someone, I think, who will be wooed by a particular situation or anything like that as far as like his hometown. You know, he could obviously end up at Indiana or Purdue, but I don't think it'll be just because, oh, hey, I want to stay at home. I think it'll be, hey, this is the best place for me. So that's a little different from a lot of times when Carolina is going up against some of these guys who have a hometown school. A lot of times there's a pull there just to go there because you're from there. Sure. And I don't think that's the case with him. I do think UNC's, I guess you call it tardiness in offering, has hurt it a little bit. Whether or not they're able to mitigate that, I think, you know, we'll see. I'd be surprised if they were able to, just because they do official visits. And I think this is something we've learned over the years. They take a lot of pride in official visits, and I think it comes through. Different players and parents have said, you know, they're not trying to sell us, they're just showing us. And that's a lot different than other places. A lot of places try to sell you. And so without being able to do that, without being able to show them Carolina and for them to kind of hear, you know, the passion about Carolina coming out from Sean May and, you know, Brad Frederick, like Hubert Davis, all those guys who went to Carolina and played at Carolina. I think, you know, in the end, that's going to keep UNC from really making a move on him.
All right. Well, Sherelle, you mentioned somebody a little bit earlier, and we touched on it, but I want to go back and spend some time on this because, again, there's not a lot going on, so let's deep dive where we can. What do you guys know about Sky Clark? A kid in the 22 class. Sean, I'll go to you first. I mean, he's a wing. We've been talking about wings tonight. What can you share with our listeners and viewers about Sky Clark, just his game from a high level?
Well, he's a guy I'm kind of regretting not taking the advantage I had this past fall and winter to get out to see him in person playing high school, given he was in the Southern California area, now has since moved to Nashville. So that window of opportunity has gone out. But I think one of the more interesting comments from the Zoom was really how he sees himself as a point guard. I think when you watch him, you definitely think combo in terms of he's a scorer more than a facilitator. So I think that comment to me stuck out the most, but he's a guy that is, you know, once again, not a 10 on the athletic rating level, but he can handle the ball. He can get to the rim. He can shoot it. He can do a little bit of everything. I know I got to watch him when he was playing with the Atlanta Celtics a little bit. And, you know, once again, that was kind of a case where the highlights show one thing, and then I got his actual stats, which, you know, once again, it's just one game. But in that game, they didn't nearly do justice to what everybody was seeing on the highlights. So, you know, for him, I think, once again, a really talented combo guard. Will be interested to see if he is that facilitator that he says he is. And the other comment was, I think a lot of people have been expecting him to potentially reclass. He seemed to say that he was focused on 2022. Obviously, things can drastically change. So, you know, for me, I'll just be interested to see how he progresses. Obviously, had a great sophomore year, but can he, you know, continue that? And, you know, how does he really look once we get back into, you know, hopefully his junior season?
Really, anything you want to add about Scott Clark?
I would just say, you know, he's a great scorer. He's a very versatile scorer. And I think that is attractive to UNC. You have to consider their depth chart. I know that's 2 years out. But again, you look at the backcourt and say, where is the perimeter scoring coming from in the backcourt? And RJ Davis can't do it by himself. I think Anthony Harris, you know, depending upon his health, is a good player and one who will thrive defensively and is definitely confident in that side of the ball. Whether or not he can score, you know, kind of in the ACC consistently in double figures, I think is a big question mark. And depending upon what happens in the 2021 class, then, you know, RJ Davis is going to need some help scoring in the backcourt. And that's what I think Scott Clark brings a lot of. I think, you know, whether or not he considers himself a point guard, I think at this point is immaterial, because in certain systems, you know, people play two point guards. I mean, Kansas has been doing that for really the last 10 years and playing essentially what are two point guards, and they've been fine. And they, both of those, you know, usually both of the guys in the backcourt ended up doing well, going to the NBA, having good careers. Roy Williams has done it since he was at Kansas. He's done it at Carolina numerous times with, you know, I guess most recently with Marcus Paige and Joel Berry. But he's done it at Carolina too. So I don't think that's a huge issue that Carolina's going to have to deal with, because they do have an offer out in 2022 to Jaden Bradley, who, while not a North Carolina native, has spent a good amount of time in North Carolina. Now he's down at IMG Academy in Florida. So I think you start to see what they're looking for in the class. And I think it's another ball handler already, because that's what Bradley is, really smooth, just really polished for his age. And then you see Scott Clark, who also is polished, but, you know, in a different way. Like I said, versatile scorer. So I think that's what they need in the backcourt. And I think he brings that. And I think that's why we were a little surprised when they offered, but I think that's why they offered, just because they know that scoring in the backcourt is going to be a need here in the next, over the next two classes.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Awesome. And so as we get closer to the end of today's show, is there anything that we need to keep our eyes on? You know, I know we don't try to predict when guys are going to commit, but, you know, last time we talked about, we felt like maybe DeMarco Dunn's process was coming closer to an end. Sherrill, anything we need to keep our eyes on, potential new offers that are, you know, in addition to guys like Clark that we feel like the coaches might be talking to a little more heavily considering the pandemic?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Dunn is the one to keep your eye on. Because, you know, he said it publicly a few times that he's closer to the end than he is the beginning. And then, you know, we hear some things around. So I would expect that one to wrap up in the next few weeks at the latest. And then after that, I mean, it's been quiet with 2021. They haven't offered outside of Jabari Smith, who doesn't really count because, you know, like we talked about last time.
Everybody offers Jabari Smith.
Yeah, like we talked about last time. Outside of that, they haven't offered anyone in 2021 since May. Since early May. So it seems like they are settled on the offers and are going to kind of see what happens with the guys they have offers from. So really just look out for DeMarco Dunn, maybe look out for another cut list from Salas, and just we'll keep tabs on Harrison Ingram as well, because that could happen at any time too.
Awesome. Thank you. Sean, you know, Sherrill's talking about there's not a ton offer-wise that we feel like may change for the 21 class. I'm assuming that's probably going to mean that since there are some new lessened restrictions on transfers and grad transfers, that might affect this class. You got any feelings about that one way or another, Sean?
I mean, it'll definitely be interesting in terms of, you know, right now it's a pretty limited pool. And we're talking about Dunn and Salas, and there's a lot of eggs in those baskets. So, you know, if they miss out on those two, or maybe they get one or two, it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, moving forward to March, April, you'll probably have a ton of guys on the market. So, you know, there could be those opportunities, but I think as we've learned, you don't want to depend on relying on those at the end, more so just trying to patch things up if you need it. But going back to the 2022 class, once again, there's four offers out, two lead guards, kind of a 4-3 in Mitchell, and then a big man. So I think you'll start to see some of those offers, you know, probably advance as well as they look to build out really that 2022 class. But once again, last year, the 2021 class really didn't start getting built out until January, February. So, you never know.
Yeah, last year we were like, no offers in 2021. What is going on? It's like December. We're like, why haven't they offered so-and-so? I would stress too, to Carolina fans, the sense of urgency outside of the Smith Center is always at least 10 times higher than the sense of urgency inside the Smith Center. And like, even when me, Ben, and Sean are talking about offers and, you know, interest in these guys, we have to remind ourselves that they're way more calm about offers and that kind of thing than I think we think they should be. That's just the way it is. So I always try
to
remind
myself. Don't they know we got a show to do?
Yeah,
let's be real here. Don't they know we have content that we have to deliver to Inside Carolina subscribers?
Yeah, if you're Coach Williams, if you're listening, hit me or Sean up and let us know.
Hey, that's actually a good perspective. Not the Coach Williams note, but the fact that everybody outside the Smith Center is probably a little more in tune from an anxiety standpoint than the folks within the Smith Center. So that's a good reset before we go home today. Boys, I appreciate the time. As always, you guys bring great insight, and I think it's really a nice enhancement and really boosts up, even in a dead period, right? Like, pardon the pun, but even in a dead period when there's nothing going on but a stinking pandemic, you guys are still bringing the info even when there's not a lot to go around. So I appreciate it. I want to give one more big shout out to Johnny T-Shirt. Hit him up, get your pandemic mask. They got Argyle masks, y'all. I mean, if we ever thought we would need Argyle masks, but Johnny T-Shirt's on the spot, and they have them, and they look really good. JohnnyT-Shirt.com, be sure to check them out. Once again, a reminder, if you are not an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, football starts Saturday. There's a heck of a promo going on right now. Get in on that, and then make sure you take care of all the advantages and benefits that come with being an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber. If you're listening to this, which I don't know how else you would be hearing me say this, be sure that you rate and review us, subscribe to Inside Carolina's podcast, get everything, because there's getting ready to be a ton of stuff coming at you. And we appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you tuning in. Big shout out to John Siegley for producing. For Sean Moran, for Sherrill McMillan, I'm Joey Powell. This has been the Coast to Coast podcast on Inside Carolina, InsideCarolina.com. We'll catch you next time. Late.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.